As you know, we've got a whole city sitting before us that must receive this gospel. Christ is going to return with judgment and with wrath. But before that time, we must see a people gathered out of this city who have a real experience of Christ. Hi, it's a generation. Men have grown tired and weary of the word of God. There is an apostasy in our generation of moving away from the simplicity of the gospel and the written truth of God. But there will be a people in this city who love Jesus Christ, who love the blood, who make much of him, who emphasize him, who keep the cross right at the center of things, dealing with the flesh, dealing with the sin. And we are going to gather people out who know the power of sins forgiven. It's real, saints. It's real. We are caught up in something very eternal. It's not of man. It's not of religion, but something that has come out of eternity. And it's going to carry us back into eternity. We ought to be rejoicing this morning, saints, very soon. And we are going to look on Christ. Be sure that you take heed to the things of God in this hour. I tell you, it's all going to happen very fast, saints. We have come right to the end of the age. All the signs are being fulfilled. And you know what that does? All the reasons why Christ gave us signs was to simply say, when you see all of these things coming to pass, what are you to do? Look down. Look around you. Look in. Look up, he said. Isn't that what Christ said? He said, look up. Now why? Because your redemption draweth nigh. There's a reason. This is not a time to fix your eyes on those things. We are not to get caught up with all those things in distress. You know what? When we see them, we look up. In other words, you know what Christ is saying? You better keep your eyes on me in this hour. Don't you get distracted. Don't you take your eyes off me. Amen. Let's come to the word of God this morning. We've come down, we've been dealing with this series on the faith of Abraham, just going through systematically through his life, and we've come down to the end of the line. It's certainly the last message in this, but Abraham goes on rejoicing this morning. That man of faith is singing in heaven above. That man is standing at the throne of God, rejoicing in Christ as Savior. Everything that was given to him by promise, he is enjoying this morning, no longer by faith seeing afar off, but in reality, experience and all that carried him through a whole lifetime of journey. Please turn with me to Genesis 23. And my message this morning, as we finish this series on Abraham, is searching for a city. Searching for a city. Genesis chapter 23 and verse 1. Do we have liked this size? Please. Genesis 23 and verse 1. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then verse 19. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan, and the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Then over to chapter 25. Chapter 25 and verse 7. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 103 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, and the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well of Lahor-roi. Father, we just praise you Lord God, even as you spoke to us through this life of Abraham, the faith of Abraham, Father, we do want to imitate him. We want to walk in the steps of our father Abraham. Lord God, we want to learn the lessons of what it is to fight the demons of hell. Lord God, to walk through trials and tribulations, to stand against temptations. Lord God, to have days when it seems everything is barren, and days when God visits our soul. Lord God, we're looking to raise up, even in this city, men and women who have experienced the faith of the Son of God that has radically changed their life, that they're no longer living for time, but they're living for eternity. Open our eyes this morning as we come to your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We come down to in this last message, searching for a city. As we said in the very first message, if you remember when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and the call of God came to him, 75 years old or probably younger than that. We pick him up at 75 years old and he's already walking with God. But we've seen from the very start that Abraham was searching for a city. He wasn't looking for Ur of the Chaldees. It wasn't Haran. It wasn't Egypt. It wasn't any of these places. But neither was it Beersheba or Hebron. Even Hebron, the city of God, the place of covenant, the place of gathering together with the saints of God. That wasn't his final destination, saints. Neither is the church of God the final destination. We do have a final destination. All this church is a stop-off place to get us to that final destination. Abraham, that man of faith, from the beginning of the call of God when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees to make a 1,000-mile journey across that hot desert in search of a land that God had spoken to him of. This man wasn't looking for a physical city or a natural land. He was looking for far more than that. He was searching for a city. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11 and 9, by faith he, that is Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange land, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And notice the next verse. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, his entire life, from the first time the call of God came to him, till he journeyed into Haran, till he journeyed over into Canaan. Oh yes, he got sidetracked down in Egypt, but he got back up out of Egypt. He's looking for a city. Every trial, every temptation, every hardship, this man of God is looking for a city. It's not a physical city. It's not made by the hand of man. He's looking for an eternal city made of gold. There's something about the faith of God. When you get born again, you're no longer satisfied in this world. There's nothing like an old-fashioned experience of being born again when repentance turns you away from the world and you're no longer satisfied. Never again will the saint of God be satisfied until he enters into that city of gold where Christ reigns supreme. We're told that Abraham looked for a city. All of his journeyings in that tent. Why did Abraham live in a tent? Why did he wander from place to place, never making his abode in this world? Why is it he wasn't like Lot? Why is it that he was utterly separated from the system of this world? He was looking for a city. Since that city was an eternal city made by God. This is a city actually built by God. God is a builder. God is a maker. God is the founder of that city. And since it's not to be found on this earth, there are many blessings in the Christian life, many things that faith brings us into. God gives you many promises about this life. But saints, this is only a stopover point. We are on a journey, and it's not to go to Limerick City, thank God. It's not to go to Dublin or Limerick or Belfast. We are on a journey for the city of God. Paul goes on writing in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These saints of God who were seeking for this city, they confessed openly. They said, I'm not at home here. I'm not settling down here. I'm not making my life here. I'm very mindful. I'm only passing through. Since life is so, so short, it's going to be over very quickly. Your life, my life. I tell you, unless Christ comes for us, we'll lay every soul in this room in a grave, and you'll stand at my graveside. Unless he comes suddenly for us, we are going to lay men and women in the grave in this church. We'll stand at their graveside and say farewell. We won't be saying goodbye. All we'll be saying is farewell. See you in the morning. Oh, what a day. What a gathering that's going to be. We say goodbye merely for a moment of time. These saints of God are strangers in the earth. They're pilgrims. They're journeying. All your time here is just a short journey to prepare you and get you ready for that hour when you leave your physical body. He goes on further, for they say such things, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now we know that Abraham was in Canaan, but yet he's seeking for a country. He was in Canaan, he's walking on the sand, but yet it says he was seeking for a land. What was that land? But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them a city. Do you know God had prepared Abraham a city? Do you know God had built a city for Abraham to enter into? And that man Abraham knew it. And the Bible says, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Do you know who God identifies? With those who are strangers in this world. If you're at home in this world, God is ashamed of you. If you become a part of this world, God is ashamed of you. If you look like this world, speak like this world, act like this world, God will be ashamed of you. He'll deny you. He won't want to be identified with you. But those who have repented and come out and are pursuing after this city, they're strangers in this city. They can never be at home in this life. Do you know what? The Bible says God is not ashamed to be called their God. Do you know what God said of Abraham? Faults and all. Oh, his journey down into Egypt. He produced an Ishmael. But do you know what God said? He is my man. I am his God. He serves me. He's my friend. God was not ashamed of him. I tell you, this was a friend of God, made perfect in righteousness, justified by the blood of the Lamb, walking in holiness. He was a man who feared God. Now I know he fears me. Look at this man. There's faith. There's a fear of God. There's obedience. There's a seeking after a city. And as this man set his face, saying, I'm seeking for a city whose foundation and builder is of God. There is a city, saints, that we're looking for. This church is only a stop-off point, like Hebron and Beersheba. This church is here to get you ready. Saints, for all eternity, we're going to live in that city. Saints, hear me again. For all eternity, we are going to live in that city. We're only passing through. Your job is temporary. Your home is temporary. Wives, close your ears. Marriage is temporary. Okay? Women just don't understand that. Us men don't seem to be able to accept that. Women never understand it. Candace, are you sure about that? I hear that 5 times a year, minimum. 5 times a year, just as we're about to say, are you sure we're not going to be married when we get there? Well, I've just given up even answering that question. But saints, we are looking for a city. Everything is temporary down here. If you build on things down here, you're in trouble. At best, you'll be a lot who loses everything. You'll lose your wife, you'll lose your children, you'll lose your rewards, you'll lose your testimony. At best, you'll be a lot if you're caught up in the things of this world. But at worst, you will lose your soul in an eternal hell. Now look at this that we have just read, these verses, chapter 23 and verse 1. We deal with, in the verses that we have read, the death of Sarah and Abraham. Now it says in chapter 23 verse 1, we read of the death of Sarah there. And it says, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba. Now this place, Kirjath Arba. If you read verse 17 and verse 19, it is Hebron. It is Mamre. That's where she died and where she was going to be buried. Now it's interesting, why use this word Kirjath Arba? Why mention it at the point of her death? Why mention it as the place of where she's buried? Why is it that they don't use the term Hebron? Abraham has always talked about Hebron. It's a place of association. It's a place of covenant fellowship. It's a place where the saints of God sit and enjoy the unity and communion of the saints. That's what Hebron represents. It was the place of Mamre. That's its physical name. It's a description of what it was like physically. But Kirjath Arba is the name describing the last enemy that we face. The actual word there means city of the four. In Joshua 14, we read that this name, Arba, it was actually a great man among the Anakims. He was a giant. He was one of four. That's where it gets its name. It literally means the city of the four. Arba was one of these four, and he was a giant. All four of them were giants. So why is it at the point of Sarah's death, it speaks of Kirjath Arba? It's saying that this was a stronghold of the enemy. This was a stronghold of the giants. In Judges 1 and 10, it again talks about this stronghold being taken back into the hands of Israel, and they call it Hebron. So we see where the enemy has a stronghold. It's called Kirjath Arba. It's the last enemy, saints. Death is the last enemy. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, for he must reign, speaking of Christ, he must reign till he hath put down all enemies under his feet. Do you know what? That's what Christ is doing. He is going, I'm reigning, I have all authority, and I'm going to reign until I put every single enemy. Every enemy in this world shall be put down. But he says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I'm going to tell you, death isn't a friend. Death isn't a friend. Death is an enemy. The Bible is very clear that the death is the last enemy that we shall ever face. Death is a result of sin. Death isn't a nice thing. Death isn't an easy thing. Death isn't just a friendly, a friend coming down the road. Here's Sarah, 127 years old, 67 years walking in the land of Canaan, walking with God, seeking after God. This woman of faith, it's 37 years since she birthed Isaac. That miracle of God. This woman of God has walked with God, made the journey. Yes, mistakes along the way. But what a faith, saints. This little lady is looking for a city. Sarah, this woman of God, this woman of faith is searching for a city. She hasn't made her home here. No, she has a tent. I'm sure she decorated it and looked after the family. But I tell you, that little lady always remembered, this tent is temporary. This home is temporary. I've only got that child for a short time. You know, these kids, all they are put into your trust. You steward them. Everything we have, husbands, wives, friends, family, brothers, sisters, all given into our hands for a very short time. Here's Sarah carrying that child, seeing him grow, weaning him. 37 years walking in that desert. Here he is, this young boy. But she does come to that final enemy. And it's going to take faith. It takes faith to see beyond death. It takes faith to meet death. It takes a real faith to know that there's a city that you're going to stand in on the day that you die. This little Sarah, she knew there's an eternity in the presence of God. There's a city that shall never corrupt. There's a city that all hell cannot touch. And for 25 years since Isaac was laid upon the altar, here she is at the point of death. 25 years ago, he got laid on the altar. 25 years have passed from what we dealt with last week. Isaac laid on the altar. 25 years, and we don't read about what happened. Do you know the walk of faith has many mundane days? The walk of faith, you get up, you work, You look after the kids. You do whatever. I tell you, that's life. You get up, go to work, go to college. You've got to study. I tell you, those who know the reality of heaven do not neglect the natural things of this life. We are searching for a city, but you're going to have to go work. We are looking for an eternal destination, but you better get up and brush your teeth in the morning, or they're going to fall out along this journey. Be assured of it. You cannot neglect those who are most spiritual with the greatest spiritual vision, are the most practical, and the ones with their feet on the ground. You cannot be too spiritual for any earthly good. You know that saying, to throw it up, you know, some people are too spiritual to be any earthly good. That's rubbish. The most spiritual people are the most practical, the most diligent, the most faithful, the most consistent, and they make the best citizens of Limerick City, I can assure you. Just let a man get in fire for God, he'll be the best person to work in any job in this city. They'll be faithful, consistent, honorable, they won't lie and they won't steal. That's a real Christian life. That's a man, that's a woman looking for a city. I'm only passing through, I better live this life good. I only pass through here once, I better not make mistakes along the way. I better listen to him, I better obey him, because I'm not coming back here. Once I face death, that's the last enemy, and it's all over. Notice this woman of faith that was laid in that grave. She is the only woman to have her age at the point of death stated in the Bible. You ladies don't like to give away you traditionally don't like to give away your age. Well, this woman, Eve's age wasn't mentioned, Mary's age wasn't mentioned, but Sarah's age is mentioned in the Bible. She was an outstanding woman of God. In Galatians, Paul uses her as a type of the church. We've already seen in her studies that she is a type of the grace of God. Look at this little lady. Look at her life. She's walked a long time with God. More than 67 years walking with God. Her faith is real. Oh yes, the trials. Oh yes, the heartaches. Remember all that struggling with Hagar and with Ishmael and all of those resentments. She had a lot to deal with. She was human. She had real feelings, real attitudes, real things to deal with. But she was a woman who overcame by faith. But look at her. Her character was such. Her life was such. Her faith was such that God takes her. And of all the women in the Bible, she is the embodiment, the greatest example of the Church of Jesus Christ and of the grace of God. God said she is a fitting picture of a woman walking in the grace of God with real faith in her heart. The Bible sets her forth as an example. In Isaiah 51 and 2, it says, look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. What's it saying? Look to them for an example. Look back to Sarah, this woman now at the end of her journey. Look at her life, saints of God. She didn't settle down here. Do you remember Lot's wife? Lot went and joined himself to a woman. She was always looking back to that city. She had to take that last look. But where's this lady looking? She's looking for a city. What was Lot's wife looking for? She's looking for a city, but it's earthbound, it's carnal, it's deadly, it's under judgment. But here's a woman of faith. She says, you know what, I like having my cups and all sorted, but it's not about that. I know I have to have a meal on the table, but I tell you, there's something greater involved in all this. I, Sarah, in this home, I'm looking for a city made of gold. Saints, we are going there, you know. This is the end of the journey. Oh, all the trials. Aren't the heartbreaking at times? Oh, the temptations, the manifold temptations that seem so overwhelming at times. The things we go through, the things we don't understand, the confusions, the disappointments, so many things. But I want to tell you, there is a city that we're going to. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3, he also uses Sarah as an example of one of the holy women of God. And he actually says to the Christian ladies in the church, he said, whose daughters ye are. In other words, you have the same faith as Sarah. You're going to walk the same journey as Sarah. She is an example of what it is to be a woman of faith. Do you remember that woman? She conceived by faith. Oh, she had her doubts, didn't she? You remember the doubts along the way? Well, you're going to have a baby. Your womb is going to conceive. She laughed. She laughed. And the angel of the Lord had to rebuke her. Isn't that right? Oh, yes, I tell you, she was a real woman, all right. She was just a normal 5'9 woman or 5'2, whatever you want to have. But she was a normal, real woman. But you know what? Faith overcame. Yes, she laughed at the promise of God, but she triumphed. It was by faith that she conceived. She actively had faith. And when she put her faith in God, in the promise of God, God miraculously moved on her. And she conceived a babe in old age. Her womb was dead. She was too old. Everything was against it. But you know what? She got revigorated again. She went looking for Abraham. I tell you, it was the power of the Holy Ghost. She had a revival in her latter days. A genuine, real revival that awoken her body. Look at verse 2. It says, "And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her." Do you know this type of broken heart is normal? There was no lack of faith in Abraham. Oh, he knew he would see her again. He knew there was a resurrection. He knew there was a city where he was going to live with Sarah again. But notice the man of God. It says that he mourned for Sarah. Sarah, his best friend, has died. You know what? You better marry your best friend. I did. Make sure you marry a friend. Or else make your wife your friend. It's the best way to live. But look at this. Abraham is standing at the graveside. She was the only one he could talk about, Ur the Chaldees and Haran. Imagine those days before she died. And they'd lie in bed or they'd be sitting talking. Remember Haran. Remember how my father kept us there. My old man kept me in Haran when I should have been obeying God. Do you remember that time we'd done the journey down into Egypt? Do you remember when we got back to the altar again and God visited us and revived our heart and we got back to that old-fashioned altar of prayer? Do you remember that? Remember when the Lord came down? Abraham, do you remember when the angel of the Lord come to her tent and said, "This is what I'm going to do"? Do you remember those things? Can you imagine the fellowship they had? But his friend has just died. She has breathed her last breath. He's not going to see her again until eternity. They're not going to talk anymore. They're not going to have sweet communion. She's not going to be there in the morning. She won't be there last thing at night. She's dead. That physical body has died. And look at the man of God. Oh yes, he's a man of faith, but he's mourning. Do you know what that word mourning means? It's literally the tradition of the hour. Whenever you used to beat your breast and pull your hair. Can such a man of faith do that? Yes. You know Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend. You know any time you've seen Jesus with Lazarus and his family, do you know what he's doing? They're always eating. They're at the dinner table. Do you know that home? That home was a bit of heaven on earth for Christ. Jesus loved to go to that home. Does he love to go to your home? Is there an atmosphere where Christ would want to be there? Because he wanted to be in that home in Bethany. I want to be in Lazarus's home, all right. This was his intimate, close friend. And you know what? When Lazarus died, this is Christ, the eternal God. And you know what? He knows he's going to see him again. Do you know what? He's going to raise him. Amen. Within moments, he's going to raise him. But you know what? There's hot tears coming down his cheeks. He believes in the resurrection. He's got this hope. But you know what? There's a mourning. We are flesh and blood, saints. Do you know what? If anything happened to Candace, you'd better be there for me. You better be praying for me. The heart will be ripped out of me. I'm going to be broken. I'll stand at that graveside. I'll say, "I don't know how I'll preach again. I don't know how I'll manage this week. I just lost someone who I love." That's what it's like. But it's no denial of faith. It says that Abraham mourned and he wept. First time he ever wept. He didn't weep when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. He didn't weep any tears. He didn't beg God, "Oh God, don't do this to me." Oh no. But when she died, he wept. He broke his heart. He was a broken man. He had the heart torn out of him. But he was a real man. You know, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that we don't sorrow as the world sorrows. We have a hope. We have a real hope, saints. Oh, we do sorrow. I do grieve. I stood at my granny and granddad's graveside. I stood at my father's graveside. I stood at my two cousins' graveside. I've stood at many funerals. I had a good friend, 24 years old. She was killed in a car accident. Never got the standard of grace. I wept over those life saints. But no lack of faith. I just know I'm going to see the saints of God again. Those who are born again, blood washed. I have a hope, saints. I am going to see my grandfather again. He died when I was 10 years old. I watched him down at the back of the church. I was just a little kid. And I heard a noise. I looked around. They just finished singing a song. And I watched him sit down in the seat and go into the presence of God. What a wonderful thing. I'm not scared of death. I stood there at his graveside. There's his body looking at him saying, he's not there. It's just a shell. Do you know what? He's going to be in the presence of Christ. Oh, I mourn, okay. Oh, yes, I've wept my tears. My heart is broken at times. But do you know what? I'm going to see them again. I'm standing Heathrow Airport, got the phone call. Dad's dead. My dad's dead. I was 18 years old. You know, the first thing, I had such a vision, not a literal vision, but in my mind's eye, all I could see was he standing there in the presence of Christ worshiping. How could I want him back? It's natural. I'm broken. I'm weeping. I'm mourning. I miss him. I want him. Wish he was here this morning. But he's gone. But when I know he's standing in the presence of God, that is something, saints of God. Amen. For we know that when Jesus comes, he's going to bring all the saints with him. We are going to see all of the saints from every generation. You know what? If you depart or if I depart, I'm going to see you again. You better get there. Saints, we are going to a city. We have a glorious hope, a great hope. It's the end of the journey, but it's not the end of life. When we get to our last days and we look death in the face, it's no friend of mine. When it takes a friend from me or someone I love, it's an enemy. Death is an enemy. But Christ is going to put down that last enemy. Do you know, when at the end of everything, it says he takes death and casts death in the lake of fire. That's what he's going to do to death. It's the last enemy. But it is the last enemy. That's why we grieve. That's why we weep. But you know what? God has taken the sting out of it. This incorruptible body will put on immortality. A new body given by God's grace. Death is swallowed up in victory. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Death isn't the victor, saints of God. When I lay my loved one in the grave, as Abraham laid Sarah, he said, there's a victory in this because Jesus Christ is triumphed. The sting of death has been taken away. Oh, yes, it hurts. But the strength of it, the power of it, by the blood of Jesus has been taken away. In this chapter, as we deal with Sarah's death, only two verses deal with her actual death and with Abraham's mourning. The next 18 verses deal with Abraham buying a plot of land from the local inhabitants. And they begin to barter between themselves. And Abraham asks for a plot of land. He knows where he wants. Give me a plot up there in Hebron. In fact, give me that place. It's got a nice bunch of trees around it. I know you're too spiritual to think about this, but he's going, I want Sarah, I've got this cave, I know the place, it's on Hebron, I want to make sure it's Hebron. See, it's back to being Hebron again. The sting of death is gone. The enemy hasn't triumphed in her death. He has got a hope, I'm going to see my wife again. I'm going to see Sarah the other side in that glorious city. But you know what? I believe in the resurrection. Why two verses about her death, her mourning, and 18 verses about her burial and making preparations to bury her. You know why he believed in the resurrection? Now you be careful with this body. It's going to get raised in the resurrection. When Christ comes, this same body, I'll recognize her. She'll look as beautiful as ever. And I'm going to see her. And I want that body put in that tomb. And I'm buying that cave. And they start to barter and they want to give it to him. And you know what? You notice here, it says that he stands up and he begins to barter and to deal with this. Abraham stood up from before his dead. Do you know what? Death doesn't destroy me. Oh yes, it breaks my heart. But he stood up, and I tell you, that was an act of faith. And he says to them, I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. I want to buy a plot of land from you. You know what he's saying? I'm a stranger. I'm coming. I'm not at home here. But I do want a burying place for my beloved one. Do you know what they called him? He called himself a stranger and a sojourner. Someone who's coming to live amongst them. Do you know what they call him in verse 6? A mighty prince are a prince of God. They had a respect for this man. They're watching a man who's at his deepest point of sorrow in his whole life. If anyone's going to shake his faith, it'll be this. If anything makes him act not like a man of faith, it's going to be this. But you know what you see? You see him getting up. He acts with manners. They want to give him the land. He says, oh no, I'm buying this. He didn't use sentiment to manipulate the money out of them. Like the television preachers, they use sentiment, pressure, manipulation to get at your pocket. That's what they're doing. You know, real men of faith don't do that. Real men of faith does not beg for money. You'll never see a true man beg for money. Here's this, at a crisis hour, they want to give him the land. He says, oh no, like with the king of Sodom, you keep everything. Oh no, I'm not taking a shoelace from you. I don't want anything from you. I don't want to say you made me rich. I don't want the lotto. I don't gamble. I don't go in there and do all those things. A Christian doesn't. Saints, a Christian doesn't.
Amen.
Not in the contemporary church. They're so messed up they don't know who's who, what's what, or anything else. Won't be long until we have homosexual pastors. That's how depraved this God. But even Abraham at his greatest crisis, his heart is broken. Sentiment doesn't rule. He's a man of faith, even in her death. Faith still is greater than his feelings and his emotions. Faith says, no, I'm going to buy this land from you. I'm not taking anything for nothing. I want a burial spot. I just don't want to throw her there. This is special. She's going to get raised again. You see, he had such a revelation of the resurrection. Emotion did not rule. Faith did rule. Faith was fixed on the resurrection. I'm going to see her stand again in the same body in the last days on the earth. It puts the amillennialists out. They say there's not going to be, the same earth won't be here. I tell you, Job said he would stand on this earth. Christ is going to stand on the Mount of Olives. They are coming back again. God had promised Abraham the whole land. Think about this. God, for years, had promised Canaan to him. And here he is buying a little plot of land. With humility, he bows twice to them. He speaks to them. He buys the land. He's very respectful. The whole land is his. From God. And yet here he is practically working through it. Never you grow light with the things of God. We have spiritually been given all things in Christ. But you better do your bit, saints of God. You better act honourable in all things. You're not greater than anyone else. You better submit yourself to the government. You better pay your tax. You better have your car insured. All of these things are honourable things. The Christian faith doesn't belittle those things. It magnifies them. Brother Clendenin, when I tell you, he's the only man I was scared ever going over the speed limit with. He would have told you, it wouldn't have mattered who you were. He would have said, don't you do that when I'm in the car. He's a man of God, that's why. He said, I'm honourable, I'm going to honour the police, I'm going to honour the law. They said, I'm being a good Christian. You see, this is Christian faith in operation. And there's never a time you're excused from that. It says in Genesis 24:1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. You know, back in chapter 15, when Abraham was much younger, God gave him a prophecy. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. And thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Imagine that, the Lord coming to a man and saying, you know what, you won't die young. You won't die in the middle of your life. You're going to be a very old man when you die. And that's what God said to Abraham. You're going to be filled with days. You're going to be a very old man. Between the death of Sarah and the death of Abraham, there was a period of 38 years. He laid her in the grave. He would never be the same man again. I tell you, something like that impacts you, doesn't it? I tell you, those things can be such a crisis. You're never quite the same again because half of you is over the other side. You know, my mum always says, she says, you know what? I've got more people over there now than here. All the family members, all the friends. 3 of them died before Christmas. Old friends from 40 years ago who walked with God. Who they prayed with, evangelized with. Another 3 have gone over. Well, I've got more over there. I'm actually more at home over there than I'm here. Lord, when are you going to take me? That's why, if you ever talk to my mum, she's not sad about death. She's not fearing death. She's saying, roll on. Come on over. You know, just waiting on it. And saints, I'm not making light. I know you can have natural fears over death. I know there can be all manners of thoughts and feelings. That's human. That's natural. But there is a faith that embraces this. Because I'm looking for a city, and the only way to get into that city, how do you get there? You don't buy a ticket. It's going to be through a grave, unless the Lord comes for you. 38 years, Abraham is left alone. We're told in chapter 24, what did he do in those 38 years? Well, he married again, and he had 6 children. Here's a man, he hasn't lost his stamina, his vigor, or anything else. Here's a man who, while he's in the earth, he lives a life out. He does live a life out. He has 6 more children. Do you know what it speaks of? In your latter days, you can have a revival. Oh, God gave you 1 child miraculously, but he can give you a whole lot more. No saint should go down to the grave dead, spiritually dead, barren, given up, worn out, tired, weary, a failure. No saints, let's run this race. Paul said, I've run the course. I've finished my fight. Now I'm ready to be offered up. Look at him as he's sad to go. He's saying, here, for your sake, I'd want to stay around here, but I want to go home. It's far better for me to be with the Lord. I've got no desire to stay around here. Oh, death, where is your sting? I'm waiting to get out of here. I've got a city to go to. I've got a final destination. Saints, do you realize why Abraham and Sarah were the way they are? They can see that city. That's why they made choices for holiness. That's why they laid Isaac on the altar. That's why they didn't want to go down to Sodom. That's why they come back up out of Egypt. Why? It's a real faith. But faith sees that city and lives in the light of that day. Abraham was 175 years old. And it said these were the days of Abraham. In verse 8, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. There's going to be a gathering one of these days. You know, Abraham, he died, breathed his last, he just breathed out. Oh, I'm waiting for that breath. I am waiting for that breath. One of these days I'm going to breathe my last breath. And as I pass over, I do believe the first person I'll see is Christ himself. I've never seen him physically. I've never touched him. But I'm telling you, on that day when I see my Savior, oh, we gather around the Lord's table and thank him. But what a day of rejoicing. Saints, I'm going to see my Christ. He saved me at 4 and a half, baptized me in the Holy Ghost at 13. And he's walked with me, encouraging me, strengthened me. Oh, there's been hard things along the way. Oh, there's been heartaches. There's been battles. There's been times I thought I was finished. And yet he come again and lifted my feet and put them upon a rock. He's forgiven me. He's cleansed me, he's washed me, he's stirred me afresh, he's revived my heart. When I thought it was over, he opened a new door and said, keep going, son, it's not over yet. I tell you, it's real, our Christ. Abraham pursued to the very end. Then he was gathered to his family members. I tell you, he got over there and went, there's Abel. There's all the saints of God from all the ages. And you know, Christ speaking about the place of paradise called it Abraham's bosom. Can you imagine Abraham coming up and embracing you? Said, welcome, you're home. You've finished the course. Oh yes, I know about the trials. Didn't we walk through them? Can you imagine communion about the trials? Oh, I tell you, it was hard. When I watched Lot walk down that road, it was hard. But I set my eyes on Hebron and said, I want to walk with God. I want to fear God. When he spoke to me and said, sacrifice Isaac, he said, I couldn't afford to think about it, or I might hesitate. I had to act immediately. This is a man of God being laid into the grave. Saints of God, this grave was prepared for them, but they were going to be raised again. What we heard round the Lord's table, Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded, saints of God?
Amen.
Because this faith, a full, absolute persuasion before God, brings glory to God. Saints, we're not home yet. There's some trials to go through. You're going to be faced with a choice like Lot and Abraham. You're going to be tempted in the famine to go down into Egypt. Say, how am I going to feed everyone? Live by faith. Live by faith. Your faith is going to go through the fire. You're going to have hellish temptations thrown at you. Somebody's going to hurt you along this journey. Your heart is going to be broken along the way. Somebody's going to lie about you. Someone's going to disappoint you. Some things that you wanted to happen aren't going to happen. But I'm telling you, it's in this that faith is refined. But it's not about this life. It's not about your job or your family or a few things along the way. We have a final destination. And saints, it is a gathering. Oh, what a gathering is going to be over there. I'm looking forward to the gathering of the saints. I'll be looking. Where's Mr. Wesley? You know, where's Mr. Wigglesworth? Where's James McCune? You're going to be going looking for James McCune. I tell you, we're going to look for the saints of all the ages. We're going to, some brothers, sisters along the way we walked with, and we miss them. I miss Brother Clendenin. I'm going to go up and say, well, General, you beat me to it. You got here before me, but I'm so glad to be here. I can't wait to sit down with Brother Clendenin again and begin to talk just as we did down here. Let's stand together. Saints, we have dealt with a lot in this series of Abraham. We've dealt with every aspect of the Christian life. But you know what, saints? There's one final thing. We have yet to face death. It is the last enemy. It is the last thing we'll face. And John Bunyan talks about the celestial city and passing through the waters of death. It is the last journey. Do you remember in Pilgrim's Progress? And as Pilgrim's there and he begins to faint, doesn't he? It's the very last thing and he's fainting. But his brother comes alongside him and helps him, encourages him through that last journey. All of us, unless Christ comes, we're going to face death face to face. But I'm going to tell you, yes, there's natural fears. Yes, naturally speaking, I don't want to die. But there is a faith that says, I'm going to enter the city of God. A city whose builder, founder is God. And you know what? He's prepared it for you and for I. Many along the way get sidetracked. Many for a time taste of the goodness of Christ. They're not here this morning. But there is a people in this city who we're going to gather out. You know why? Because we're saying we're going to a city and we want you to come too. Oh, Father, just, oh, help us this morning. Give us such a vision. My God, there's many trials. There's much weariness in this journey. Give us such an open vision of our eternal destiny, this celestial city. Lord God, the city of our God, where we're going to dwell and be together. Even the body of Christ, the bride of the Lamb, is going to ascend out of heaven. That's heavenly city. Even that city that is being built and made by you. My God, we're weary of this world. My God, put courage in us. Raise up faith in us this morning. My God, we've got temptation to face. We've got trials to walk through. We've got battles we have to overcome. And oh God, we want eyes to see this city. We're searching, we're looking, we're longing, we're desiring the land of our God. Oh God, we're looking for Beulah land. We are looking for a land that's filled with perfect righteousness and godliness, where all the saints of all the ages are going to gather. Oh, revive our hearts even this morning. Revive our hearts. Take away every fear of death. Take away every fear of the unknown. My God, open our eyes to see that there is a final destiny. We love you, O God. Oh, we praise you. We bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we are persuaded, O God. Oh, our faith is in you this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise you, our God. Oh, praise you, our God.